Loved of Christ, I may proclaim to you the gospel of salvation that is assuredly ours in Christ Jesus, our Lord, who came as was promised, born of the Virgin Mary, that he might lay down his life for us, his people. And I'll do so this morning as the gospel according to Matthew begins. Matthew chapter 1. We'll begin at verse 18. This is the word of our Lord. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, today is perhaps a bittersweet day for many of you. It is bitter because it's the last day before the province goes into a lockdown in an effort to contain the spread of this pandemic. But it is a sweet day because this morning we've gathered here together in this church, perhaps for the last time this year, to celebrate a very important event. For today, it's Christmas. It's a day to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. It's a day of hope, a day of celebration, a day of rejoicing in the gospel message, good news of a loving God at work for a poor and weak people, people like you and me. A message that we need more than ever before. This morning we've turned to the gospel according to Matthew. We've read together this short narrative on the birth of Jesus Christ. It's a simple story, one that does not go into much detail on the birth itself. It focuses rather on the significance of the birth of this child in particular. Matthew draws attention to the person who was born and the role that he will play in bringing salvation and reconciliation to the lost people of this world. You see, brothers and sisters, the story that Matthew unfolds for us, it's both simple and profound. It's simple in its details, speaking of Joseph and Mary and the angel in direct terms. Profound. In its implication, a virgin who has conceived by the Spirit according to the prophets, her husband who plays no role in the child's conception, and yet plays a significant role in his lineage, and a child whose simple existence brings the hope of salvation, bearing the name of promise from a loving God for his dearly beloved people. And so this Christmas morning, brothers and sisters, in the midst of everything that's going on outside, I bring to you the word of God on Jesus being born to save his people with the following theme and points. A child is born to save his people. We'll consider three things. First, the parents of this child. A second, the name of this child. A third, the birth of this child. A child is born to save his people. We'll consider first the parents of this child. Now, Matthew had begun his gospel with a genealogy of Jesus Christ to point out that he was the descendant of David, the king, the descendant of Abraham, the father of many through whom the world would be blessed. And I'm realizing now that in preparing this liturgy, an oversight on my part was that we did not read this genealogy. And so I would actually like to take time to read that genealogy with you, for this is indeed the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read together also the first 17 verses here. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon. And Nahshon begot Salmon. And Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abijah. And Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Joram. And Joram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham. Jotham begot Ahaz. And Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh begot Amon. And Amon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel begot Abiud. Abiud begot Eliakim, and Eliakim begot Azor. Azor begot Zadok. Zadok begot Akim, and Akim begot Eliud. Eliud begot Eleazar. Eleazar begot Mathan, and Mathan begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until Christ are 14 generations. This genealogy is unique in that it does not call Joseph the father of Jesus. Rather, we read here, verse 16, Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. It's in that line that Matthew very carefully reveals that Joseph was not the physical father of Jesus Christ, only the legal father. And in recounting that genealogy, Matthew shows to us that even though Jesus was not the direct son of Joseph, he was still his heir. He still followed after Joseph as a son of David. And it's in this context that Matthew recounts the birth of Christ Jesus. Joseph learns that his betrothed was with child, a child that was most certainly not his. A child that perhaps came because she was not loyal to him, had committed adultery. And since this was not his child, since his betrothed perhaps was not loyal to him, he made plans to end their relationship. As a just man, he would act according to the law. He was careful to keep the law and understood that it required the ending of this relationship. Deuteronomy 22 deals specifically with such cases, calling for stoning for doing something like adultery. There was to be a public example for the whole town to demonstrate this. A recurring phrase in that chapter is the command, "From the Lord you shall purge this evil from among your midst." But the Romans, as the rulers of the land, did not permit the Israelites to exercise the death penalty. This is also why Jesus would later be hauled before Pilate, a Roman judge, to consider his case, as the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes, could not sentence him to death. Stoning was no longer the law, but divorce was allowed, and making a public example was still expected. Yet for his sense of being beholden to the law, Joseph was yet unwilling to make an example of Mary, his betrothed. He was unwilling to put her to shame, to publicly embarrass her. And the action described here is one of public embarrassment, shaming for everyone to see. The only other example in Scripture is Colossians 2, where we read of the triumphant Christ triumphing over the rulers and the authorities of the world and putting them to open shame. Now, Joseph, in his mercy, had resolved to spare Mary of that ordeal. He resolved to take a more compassionate route, as private an annulment as he could manage. He wanted to put her aside quietly as he saw best for himself and also for Mary. This, my brothers and sisters, is the character of the betrothed man. This is the character of the Son of David. Even though he felt betrayed, wronged, offended by the actions of his betrothed, even though this would have been embarrassing for him, he did not desire revenge on her, but he sought a peaceful and quiet resolution. It also reflects quietly upon Mary, his betrothed. Matthew does not spend much time describing Mary and her actions. In fact, her role in this gospel, according to Matthew, it's almost entirely passive. And in relation to Joseph, Mary was engaged to him, later taken to be his wife. She did not have marital relations with him until Jesus was born, and she was taken by Joseph to Egypt for Jesus' protection. We don't read of the angel visiting her, of her reflecting upon what had happened. We don't read of her beautiful song or how she raised Jesus in the way that he should go. Luke focuses in on that, while Matthew here merely recounts her presence as wife and as mother. But Matthew does tell us that Jesus was born of her. And she is listed in his genealogy together with Tamar and Rahab and Ruth. Bathsheba is not named, but her presence is noted as the wife of Uriah, woman in the lineage of the Savior of the world, woman that God incorporated into the lineage of Christ despite broken relationships, despite improper backgrounds, despite the sinfulness of the men around them. And it was through Mary the woman, not through Joseph the man, that Jesus was born. Matthew also records that she was found to be child from the Holy Spirit. And we do not know how this great mystery occurred, only that it did happen. Mary, a young Israelite girl, a virgin, conceived a son in accordance with the Scriptures. And the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, blessed Mary by creating life in her womb, giving to her a child, the Son of God. And so, beloved of Christ, we see here this Christmas morning in Matthew's short introduction to the birth of Christ, two Israelites, two descendants of Abraham, called to be the parents of this child, the Son of God. Joseph, son of David, A just man who desired mercy for his wife. And Mary, of whom Jesus was born, included in the lineage of broken woman restored by grace. Both used by our Lord God to bring hope and salvation to a dark world lost in sin. Both used to parent the Son of God incarnate. Both used in His plan of redemption. For it was our God's intent to see both Joseph and Mary raise Jesus Christ as their son. Joseph was to take this child for his own as his legal son of the line of David. And so while Joseph considered his divorce, the Lord has sent an angel to him to speak to him, to guide him. And in that message, we learn again of Joseph's role for this child. Joseph, son of David, do not fear. Such blessed assurance from our heavenly God. The message that the angel brought calmed Joseph's concerns, explained to him the plan of God for his betrothed. She will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. In this short explanation, the whole centrality of God's plan laid bare for Joseph, son of David, a child to be born, a child with purpose, a child to be the Savior of his people. Matthew does not tell us how Joseph felt about this message, nor about the conversations that Joseph and Mary undoubtedly had together. The Spirit does not guide him to outline for us how they journeyed to Bethlehem. But he does tell us that when Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as he was commanded. He carried out the will of God. He took Mary as his wife, and he named the child that was born Jesus, Savior. For today, brothers and sisters, a child is born, Jesus, who shall save his people from their sins. You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. With these words, the angel of the Lord laid upon Joseph, son of David, a charge, a role to play in the coming of the Son of God. For as the royal heir, it was through Joseph that the prophecy on David's son would be fulfilled. Legally, Jesus was the son of Joseph, a descendant of David. Just as Matthew opened the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. As the legal father, Joseph was ultimately responsible for the name of this child. Mary could insist all that she wanted, but if her word contradicted Joseph's, the courts would side with him as the head of the household. The Spirit reminds us of Joseph's lineage, not only through the genealogy that Matthew recorded, but also in how he directed the angel to address Joseph, son of David. We see the fullness of our God's plan of salvation being centered in and around the coming of His Son. How every prophecy of the Old Testament turned and tuned to focus in on the coming of this child. A child to be named Jesus by Joseph. And what a beautiful name, beloved of Christ. Jesus, as an angel spoke to Joseph, means Savior. This is no ordinary name. This was no ordinary birth. This is no ordinary child. This was a child upon whom the entire fate of the world depended. This was a child upon whom the whole plan of salvation rested. He is the entire reason we can gather here together. He is the sole reason we are able to come before our Lord God. He is all that we have to focus on. He is the gift that God gave, the reason we celebrate Christmas. Brothers and sisters, we've together this morning to worship our God and to praise Him for the birth of Jesus, God's only begotten Son who came for us. And He came that we might have joy, peace, and hope. Even at a point of the year where the days are shortest, we can have the brightest joy because Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary to save us of our sins and to reconcile us before God. We gather to celebrate not only the beauty of a child being born, but to celebrate the coming of salvation and the reconciliation between God and His people. His birth heralds the gospel, good news of great joy for all people. You shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. Our Savior was given a particular name that spoke of exactly what He would do. He came to save. He came to deliver us from evil. He came to make forgiveness of sins possible. Now this name is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua. It means the Lord saves. The God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, the One who had a covenant relationship with His beloved people, the Lord God who in His love has a relationship with sinners like you and me. And this Son of God came, Jesus, as God to make that covenant relationship possible, to extend it all the more perfectly, and His name was to reflect that, the Lord saves. Now, Jesus was actually quite a common Jewish name in those days. Jesus would come to be known as Jesus of Nazareth. But Matthew, in his gospel, first labels Him as Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Christ, Messiah, Anointed One of God, the One prophesied about so long ago to bring about reconciliation between God and man. For Jesus Christ was anointed to carry out the task for our benefit, to save us from our sins. And in saving us, He makes reconciliation possible with God. And this is why Isaiah's prophecy is not contradicted, even though Jesus was not named Emmanuel by Joseph. Joseph acted in accordance with the word of the Lord and gave to Him the name Jesus. And yet while that is His given name, one that He bears as the Son of David, heir to the throne, a newborn king, He may rightly be called, as the prophet Isaiah prophesied so long ago, Emmanuel, God with us. For in saving His people from their sins, He made it possible for us to be reconciled to God. Indeed, when we celebrate Christ's birth, we celebrate Emmanuel in the most literal, physical sense. For with His birth, the Son of God took on human form and dwelt among us. With His birth, we see God coming to us even despite our sins, even despite our rebellion. With His birth, we see the Savior coming to be with us. With His birth, we see the hope of reconciliation between God and man. With His birth, God comes to us and is with us. The fullness of God, the fullness of man, God of God incarnate, Emmanuel. And in a season where gathering with family and friends is limited, where gathering for public worship is limited, the comfort of Emmanuel is more precious than ever. Christmas is not about getting in the last bit of shopping before the lockdown. Christmas is not about the festivities with family and friends, with fancy meals and chocolates and presents. Christmas is about the presence of an almighty God with His people. A presence confirmed with the incarnation of the Son. A presence of Christ Jesus with us, His people. And no isolation, no lockdown, no limitation will separate you or any of us from His love. So, beloved of Christ Jesus, this Christmas, consider not only the peaceful thought of a baby boy laying in his mother's arms. Reflect not only upon the cheer and the joy that might come at a festive season. This Christmas, consider also the reason for Jesus' coming, as reflected in His name. For He was called Jesus because He had to come to save us. From what? From our sins. Being saved from sin is only ours if we believe in Him and trust in Him for everything. And He alone can live up to that name, Jesus the Lord, and saves. He alone can truly save you from your own destruction. In Him alone can we say, Emmanuel, God with us. For in His work, reconciliation with God was made possible. Beloved of Christ Jesus, consider yourself blessed to name this child as your Savior. For that is what has made this birth so wonderful. Just as the angel said to Joseph, she will bear a son, it came to pass. Joseph did not know her until she had given birth to a son. And Joseph named him Jesus, as the angel told him. Matthew spends far more time with the dialogue the angel gave to Joseph than with the actual birth of the Savior. Indeed, more detail about where Jesus is born is found as Matthew describes the coming of the wise men to pay homage to the child. But when Matthew first describes Jesus being born, here in our reading, all he says is that things happened as the angel of the Lord had commanded Joseph. Joseph woke from his sleep, took his wife, did not know her until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. There's no mention of the inn, no mention of the manger, no mention of singing angels or wondrous shepherds. Only the words of this angel fulfilled, just as the words of the prophets were fulfilled. Of course, that's not to say that Matthew didn't think those things happened, or that Luke was somehow privy to secret information that Matthew was not. After all, neither Mark nor John opt to speak of the birth of Christ as wondrous as it was. But what this gospel shows to us is that Matthew, guided by the Spirit of the Lord, wanted to emphasize something in particular about the birth of this child, namely both his royal and divine lineage. We had already spoken on how Joseph was the royal heir of King David and how Matthew uses the title Son of David to point to Jesus as the descendant of David, heir to his throne. But to fully grasp the extent of that message, now in the time to come, in the subsequent passage, wise men from the east would come asking about he who has been born King of the Jews. And they came to offer gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, gifts befitting a king. Isaiah also prophesied about the child to be born as the one who would bear all power in earth and heaven, as we read together this morning. He would sit on the throne of David to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness forever. And this was the royalty that Matthew spoke of, and the weight of the angel addressing Joseph as the son of David, that should not be lost on us. Beloved of Christ, and King has been born to rule with justice and with mercy over every power, every dominion. And while Joseph would not openly shame Mary, King Jesus indeed would put every ruler in authority to open shame in his triumph. The birth of Jesus, as Matthew recounts it, points to us his royal authority, and with it the promise of his power and authority being used, not for personal gain, not out of selfish ambition, but for our benefit. This King was born to save us from our sins and to reconcile us to himself. And his kingdom is not limited to the boundaries that David had established hundreds of years earlier. As the angel said, he will save his people from their sins. And his people will include those from every tribe and tongue and nation. And the increase of his government, there shall be no end. His lineage means that his birth was no ordinary birth. His birth was a special one that was to bring hope to a suffering people, that not all was lost, that no government could stand against his power, that no authority had a jurisdiction over his. Brothers and sisters, the royal nature of Jesus' birth means that we do not need to fear any political power that could challenge the power of Christ, for his authority is absolute. As Isaiah had prophesied, as the angel had spoken, Jesus was born, he was named by Joseph as the son of David. But his birth, as Matthew recounts it, also points us to his divine authority. And with it, the promise of his power, his authority being used for reconciliation between God and man. As the angel said to Joseph, that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She was found to be child from the Holy Spirit. Jesus, Savior of the world, Son of David, King to bring peace, also Son of God, true, eternal God. In this, we find again the wondrous miracle of Christmas, that the Son of God himself came to earth, humbled to take the form of man. That plan of reconciliation, plotted since before the creation of the world, now found wrapped in the arms of the Virgin Mary. And can it be any other way, beloved? If this child was not the Son of God, then what joy does Christmas have for us? What hope of reconciliation can we hold to? What comfort in knowing that we belong to the kingdom of heaven is there, apart from this Son of God? But he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, an offspring of David to be triumphant, born of Mary, the wife of Joseph, to be king. So this Christmas, let us worship the King, calling upon the one who has established a covenant of grace with us to endure in his kingdom forever and ever. Let us sing praises of the King who came as promised, and look forward all the more to his second coming from the throne that is built throughout all generations. For beloved of God, a Savior is born, who is Christ the Lord.